We are joined today by not just three, but four special guests, because we have the Houston Sabercats in studio, Coach Justin Fitzpatrick and Coach Sam Windsor, Coach slash Player Sam Windsor, Matt Truville, I'll call you Player Coach, and a very special edition of Mad Radio, Sean Pendergast. Sean, how the hell are you
first? I'm doing good. It's just so people know, it's not a permanent edition of Mad Radio.
No, it says you've seen a little bit of rugby and you're curious to learn
I have,
more.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Sean, we all know who the hell you are. The Houston Sabercats, a rugby team you guys have been in a few times. You just finished your inaugural exhibition season. I guess the first question I'd have for you is, because I saw the product on the field, and the product on the field is very good. How did the fans respond?
The fans have been outstanding. We've been bowled over by the support that we've had. While we were playing our nine-game series in Constellation Field out in Sugarland, we were getting thousands out to watch us, and they were really getting involved. Those that were familiar with rugby, and surprisingly, a lot more that weren't, and really got into it and started following. And so it's been really, really positive.
And Matt, one of your duties is player development. And the one thing I was surprised by is just how much you guys have been able to pull from the local area. Because you have a lot of great international players, and obviously rugby players are better internationally in general because you guys play it from the ground up over there. But some of these local programs have actually done a pretty good job.
Of course, yeah. It's a very big and good rugby community already. So some of the high school teams here and clubs have some of the highest participation rates in the country, which is fantastic. That's an automatic feeding ground for us to filter up into the top team. And then the men's teams here do a great job. So we've been able to trial some of the guys for our combine series last summer, and then bring the guys in we think who can do a good job. And they've been outstanding. You know, there's a lot of good talent here in the area.
As you guys build that fan base in these first few months, what's been the easiest way to kind of translate rugby to American fans, bringing new fans in, you know, comparing it to things that maybe they see here in the sporting world in the United States?
I think the easiest, our best bit of advice is to come out and watch first and foremost. And we made an effort to have people in amongst the crowd who, you know, we labeled rugby geniuses. So they knew the rules, and if people weren't sure, then they can go up to these people in bright shirts and ask, you know, what's going on here. Our commentary team would explain penalties and turnovers, and when the ball go out of play, and when the scrum was setting, and the lineouts. So we tried to engage them and keep them interested as best we could by, not, I wouldn't say dumbing it down, but trying to translate it into the terminology that would be familiar to, say, a football fan or a basketball fan.
That's fascinating. So you have people actually spread out throughout the stadium that are there to, like, almost be, like when you go to Target and you're looking for a price on something, like customer service people. Yeah. That's amazing. I feel like that's something that even the sports that people are indoctrinated in over here could use from time to time.
A little bit of basic common sense.
What are they reviewing right now on replay?
We could advance it to, like, idiot meter or something.
Yes.
Somebody come over with a whack-a-mole mallet if somebody's saying something dumb. We're not advocating that with you guys.
No. That's a great idea, though.
You have those skill stations set up, and I've seen it at Constellation Field. And then out when you guys had your fan fest the other day, I was kind of blown away by how many young kids were out there just throwing the ball around, obviously not going full go tackling and everything, and kind of the feel for the flow of the game that those young kids already had. And I guess that's what we're shooting for in America, is to be able to have young kids like that just feel the game more than learn it when they get out of college.
Yeah, if you can lower the participation age in America, this country become a powerhouse very quickly, just because of the athletic pedigree in this country is amazing. So if those kids start playing at a young age, like we saw some kids out there that are 4 years old, mm-hmm. and they were probably doing the best out of everyone, you know. So if you can lower that down and catch up with some of the tier one nations around the country, you know, this country could be exceptional.
What's the hardest thing to teach an American football player when they first come out and play rugby? Because it seems like the willingness to throw your face into a tackle when you're wearing a face mask. Does that get pounded out of you pretty quick?
We had a couple boys, you know, when they tackle, again, as you say, in football, you've got the helmet, so you're not worried about your teeth getting knocked or your mouth getting smashed. So their heads,
oh, yeah, I didn't even think of the teeth. We're all worried about concussions, but the teeth, man.
Yeah.
They find their heads in the wrong spot, so they learn quite quickly that they can't do that.
But yeah.
I think it's a timing thing, I think, that the players struggle with the most, and because everything's lateral or backwards in the passing, you can't be in front of the play. So you might be the fastest guy in the world, but it's no good if your timing's off, because you have to wait for the ball to come to you, and you have to be onside. So I just think that's probably the most complicated thing for them to get a hold of. And being able to roam the field, not just being one position player. You know, you need to catch, pass, kick, tackle. across the board.
And make decisions on the field too, because your coach isn't sending plays in.
Well, and I think that's it. And I think it depends what sort of sports they've come from. If they've come from a basketball where it does change from offense to defense and you're transitioning a lot, then and you're going through, you know, phase after phase after phase of play, that's very much like rugby, whereas football is a little bit more stop and start. You get to the tackle, you stop, and you go again. So for a lot of guys that have come through football, that's probably the biggest thing, that they've been able to, okay, we've got a tackle now we're going to compete for the ball, and now we're going to play, and that may go on 20 times, before, a stoppage. So that can be confusing for them.
I think it's interesting you bring up, if the age were lowered for participation, that rugby would blow up, because American football is dealing with the opposite thing. We're seeing cities, states talking about raising the level of age that kids can play. Tackle football, at least, maybe not flag football. So I think people see rugby and they see a sport that is very physical. Why is it safer than American football? Why are you talking about bringing the age down to allow kids to play rugby?
Well, when you take away pads and a helmet, you automatically have a self-preservation at mind. So automatically you're not going to just throw your head into a messy tackle situation. And also the techniques that are taught in rugby, it's all shoulder-led. So the head is completely removed from any tackle situation. Sometimes, you can't help it, and that's when accidents occur. But it's such a diligent process from a young age on how to tackle, starting very young. It may not be full contact games, but it's very close skills, learning to use your shoulder, learning to put your neck in the right position, all the things that make it safer and a more responsible tackle. And then also that transfers into a more dominant tackle as you get older, because you know what to do. So it seems barbaric, it seems rough and tough. We get those comments all the time, but it's actually much safer and much more controlled in that contact situation.
And the laws are strictly enforced. I mean, there's nothing above the shoulder girdle, and if there is, then that's sanctioned very strongly.
And that's you talk about the enforcing the laws and everything. Sean, one of the most amazing things when you watch a rugby match, and I talked to a coach from the Woodlands who coaches both football and rugby up there, who said he was amazed when he first got exposed to rugby that it's like a gentleman's game. For as rough and tumble a game, sure, as it is, that the official has complete control. And I wish they would implement this in more sports. If you mouth off to the official, the ball's going to the other team.
And you'll be off the field.
And you'll be off there, right. It's like they have no tolerance for anything.
And the
turnover, which as we know is a huge deal, they're just like, oh, here you go.
Off to the other team. LeBron James is not playing rugby anytime soon.
He'd be pretty good, but if he did.
He would be arguing with the referee 15 seconds. Gets into the game, he'd be gone.
So I guess the other thing that I was impressed with during the spring exhibition season was that you kind of have already, ahead of schedule, this core of passionate fans. And I saw it out at FanFest. You have some really adamant, loyal fans that have been there for every match, and kind of you have a pretty vibrant tailgating atmosphere for a young team. Like the atmosphere beforehand and afterwards, it's more of a party and of a festive event than you might think just going to a rugby game.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot laid on before the games and post the games, and we pride ourselves in rugby, here and around the world, of being able to connect with our fans. And you saw that players, coaches, management mixing with the fans. We're accessible. And it's a family-friendly, accessible feeling that you get with it that you potentially don't get with other sports.
So you guys start up April 21st with the official Major League Rugby season. And right now you're going to be facing New Orleans with the first game. And then I don't have the total schedule, but Austin, Seattle, Utah, Glendale, San Diego. I'll be honest with you guys. I wasn't sure, I guess a little bit less than a year ago, when I first learned about Major League Rugby and everything that was happening, I'm surprised that everything came together this quickly, and that you have eight teams right now that are viable teams, some of which with their own stadium. You guys will have your own stadium next year. Yep. How's that going, the plans for construction and whatnot?
Awesome. It's out to tender, I'm pretty sure, at the moment, so they're waiting to sign off on a builder and whatnot, and then I think breaking ground in May sometime, and then fingers crossed for nice weather and speedy builders, and that's up before we know it.
And I think what you'll find, just looking at the cities on our run sheet here, New Orleans, Austin, Utah, I can certainly speak about. Just so you guys know, these are cities that we inherently have sports hate for.
That's
so
a this good is point. A good,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, they, yeah. So we're starting off with a nice level of vitriol.
And then Austin is just it's they're a little too impressed with themselves.
Yeah, well, that's just part of it,
right? So there's a cultural thing there.
There is, but New Orleans, you know, with the Saints and I guess the Pelicans, certainly Utah with their basketball team up there.
We've played New Orleans twice already in the preseason, so there's already a rivalry forming with those guys. So
okay, good.
Could be a better start.
We really hate Utah, just so you know. Yeah, so you turn it up that game.
Well, and also for the spring game, because you don't have the final season yet, and this is something I partook of during FanFest, it's like a quarter mile away from the Carbach Brewery. So I went, I had to do some media things during your media part, and then they didn't need me any longer, so I was like, all right, I'm going to Carbach. So you can go to Dyer Stadium, you can go to Carbach before and afterwards, and Carbach is out there. They've done a lot of stuff with you guys.
Yeah, they're a great sponsor of ours. They've been with us from pretty early on, so
yeah.
it kind of worked out nicely that Dyer Stadium was the field of choice, and they're in the close proximity. So pre-party at Carbach, and then I'm assuming the players will probably end up over there for a post-match meal, and then mingling with the fans as well.
And there's live music, everything. I mean, Carbach's putting on a show for us, so you know they're great, and you know. I can't wait to have a love street after the game. That's for sure.
It's I guess you know what, I don't want to have to put you into coach speak here, Justin. But what are you expecting of the season here coming up? So go into coach speak. But just no, this is what you guys all know this. Just play up your accent as much as possible. In America, you get away with a lot just by dressing it up with your accent.
Look, we feel nicely cooked going into the season. We've had a really good inaugural preseason phase. We've played 16 matches. We've gone 12 wins, 2 draws, and 2 losses. As you say, we've played some of our major league opponents already, and we haven't lost to any of them thus far. We feel if we perform, and it's very much on us, we've got quite a young squad, so it's getting that performance week on week out that you know we're targeting those playoff spots.
Let's see now, Sam. I know you're engaged. Yep. You're engaged. Justin, you're married.
No,
you're not. Okay, and Matt.
I'm married.
You're married, okay. So Justin is the... I'm trying to look, and we can edit this out.
Anxious
later
to hear where you're going with this. Yeah.
Tell me about this, the experience that, like with American women and your accent, and when you meet them, exactly. Like, how does the conversation usually
go? I have a Canadian girlfriend, so
I
really couldn't call.
Well, how's it go with Canadian women? I feel like Canadians are harder to impress.
Yeah.
Is she French-Canadian nice or just normal Canadian?
No. English, BC.
Well, that's the problem with Canadians. They are right. They're too damn nice. So if you haven't impressed them, you still would never know it. They're going to be polite about it.
I'll say one thing about the accents. It sort of gets awkward. So if we're at the grocery store and we're buying groceries, that people want to talk to you and have a conversation, and there's a line forming behind you, 4 or 5 people, and they're just sort of going, okay, hurry up. You know what I mean? So it can be pretty awkward at times. So.
That's how you, now that you get to have the experience of being an American in a foreign country, where yeah. people are annoyed with you through no fault of your own.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not a politician. I did none of this. What are you doing?
Not my fault.
HoustonSabercats.com. They start up April 21st versus New Orleans. It's a 4-game spring schedule at home. So check it out, HoustonSabercats.com. Really appreciate it, guys. Thank you, Sean, everybody. HoustonSabercats.com. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Bam. Easy.